Do you know that sin is pleasurable? The only way you will overcome sin is you must love God more than pleasure. You need to love God, but you cannot love God until you experience Jesus in your heart, because only Jesus can change your heart. Our verse for today, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Everybody, basahin po natin. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Here are a few things you will learn from this verse. Number one, God is looking. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. The grammar is the Lord is searching. He is looking. You know why He's looking? He's looking for you. Can you tell your neighbor? God loves you. Tell your neighbor. God loves you. Can I tell you something? We live in uncertain times. You will sooner or later encounter problems, uncertainties. But one thing is certain. I want you to know. God loves you. You matter to God. You are important to God. Tell your neighbor. Look at them in the eyes. Tell them, you matter. You are important. That's why God is looking. He's looking for you. Not to punish you. God is looking for people that, everybody read, that He may strongly support. That word is beautiful. In the Hebrew language, it means to grab you intently and with tenacity, hindi ka ibibitawin. God wants to hold you tightly, to support you. You know why? Because God wants to give you strength. You need strength. The truth is, all of us have problems. The day will come when you will discover that your problems are bigger than what you can solve. Some people, it takes time for them to realize they need God. I have a friend, CEO of a multinational company. He would never attend Bible study. Only his wife. Suddenly, one day the doctor told him, I don't like your x-ray. I don't like what I see. And then, he asked the doctor, bakit po? The doctor said, I think you have cancer. This guy, CEO, very successful, suddenly understood why he needs to attend Bible study, why he needs to pray. My advice, do not wait for calamities in your life so that you will begin praying. You will begin looking for God. Today, I think all of you are here not by accident. God wants to make sure you hear this message because God is on your side. God is not against you. So do not run away from Him. Look at this verse. Everybody read one more time. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He may strongly support. So God wants to support you. Kakampi tayo ng Panginoon. The problem is, why are you running away from Him? But there's a condition. The condition of this promise is simply this. Those whose heart is completely His. You know, in this room today, there are three kinds of people. Three kinds of heart. The first one, it is completely devoted to God. Number two, partially devoted to God. Number three, no heart for God. Now, let me ask you, is your heart completely His? Or partially His? Or no heart? Are you examining your heart right now? Can I tell you something? God knows your heart. God is looking at your heart. God is saying, I want to bless you, but you need to give me all your heart. Our title is, Devote Your Heart to Whom? To God. How many of you are singles? Raise your hands, mga single. Where is your heart right now? Is it devoted to God or is it devoted to I don't know who. But my point is this, your heart is always devoted to something or someone. It cannot be neutral. Right now, what are you devoted to? Money? Career? Family? They're not bad things. But God is saying, I want your whole devotion. Put God first. Basahin po natin. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy against you. Ito sabi ni Jesus, ha? Everybody, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. You know, God looks at your heart. The context of this quotation is the people who are religious. They go through the rituals. They offer animal sacrifices. They go through a lot of motion. But Jesus is saying, your heart is far away from me. What's the topic for today? Devote your heart to God. Do you mind turning to your neighbor one more time? Tell your neighbor, devote your heart to God. Why? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Ano po ibig sabihin niyan? The word watch means guard. You guard your heart with all diligence. Ibantay natin ang puso natin. Because the heart is prone to wander. The heart has to be watched. Because the heart is the real you. You are in a human body. Your human body is not you. The real you, the seat of your will, the seat of your emotions, the one that makes decision is the heart. And where your heart is, it determines the direction of your life. And that's why the Bible says, watch your heart, everybody read, with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. It is foundational. If the spring is polluted, the water is polluted. If the heart is not right, your decisions will be wrong. Let me give you an example. When Jesus tells us, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember that command? Love God with what? All your heart, soul, mind. Why is that foundational? Look at me. If you love God with all your heart, will you cheat your neighbor? If you love God with all your heart, will you study the Bible? If you love God with all your heart, will you obey Him? Yes or no? You see, the problem is love. If you don't love God, the commandments are problematic. If you don't love God, you will always struggle with sin. Do you know that sin is pleasurable? The only way you will overcome sin is you must love God more than pleasure. There's no way to overcome the struggle. When it comes to self-centeredness, selfishness, you need to love God. But you cannot love God until you experience Jesus in your heart. Because only Jesus can change your heart. Look at the heart of Solomon. Let's read together. Together. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. His heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. This verse tells me that you have to watch your heart, because just because you gave your heart to Jesus when you were younger does not mean you will continue to be devoted to Him. Once upon a time, Solomon was devoted to God. God appeared to Solomon twice. But when Solomon got old, because of power, because of success, because of pleasure, his heart was turned away. Is it possible that once upon a time, your heart was devoted to Jesus, to God, but now it is no longer wholly devoted? Something has taken over. Look at the comparison. The heart of David. Do you know how God described David? Did you know David committed some of the ugliest sin? What did David commit? Adultery? Deception? Murder? Yes or no? Yes. And yet, at the end of his life, God described David as a man after his heart. How can that be? Look at Acts 13. Sabi ni Lord, I have everybody read, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. In short, the heart is not perfect. But if you give your heart to God, wanting to please Him, because you love Him, it does not mean you will never fail. It does not mean you are perfect. But it means when you do something wrong and God convicts your heart, you are going to change. You are going to repent. You are going to humble yourselves. You see the difference? A man whose heart is devoted to God will learn to repent. He is going to be humble when he's corrected. Why? Because your heart is in the right place. You want to please Him. God loves you, but He wants your heart to be devoted to Him. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Mga may asawa na. This is the secret. If you love God 100%, your capacity to love your wife increases. That is the secret. When you love God with all your heart, your capacity to love others grow even more. So the secret is you love God with all your heart, and your ability to love others will grow. If you don't love God with all your heart, you are going to have problems. Because God tells you, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everybody read this together. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Then the prophet said, you have acted foolishly in this matter. The word foolish means idiotic, moronic. Hindi ka nag-iisip, ano po ang ginagawa mo? Did you know what happened here? You will not know what really happened here until I give you the background of his story. Are you ready for the background of King Asa? Let's look 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's read together. When Asa became king, he was still young. The Bible described him as what? Everybody read. Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. You see, when your heart is devoted to the Lord, your action speaks. The Bible says, he did good, he did right. That's how you can tell if the heart is right. Next, he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherim. He removed idolatry. When your heart is devoted to God, you will get rid of idols in your lives. That's what he did. Next, you know what he did? Because his heart was devoted to God, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. You see, if your heart is devoted to God, you will want to seek Him. You will want to know Him.
What can we learn about this man? The Bible tells us he also observed the law and the commandment. If your heart is right with God, will you obey Him? Yes or no? Louder. If you love the Lord, will you obey His commandments? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have teenagers and young people living with you? You have teenagers and young people, and you are still a teenager or young. Raise your hand. You know what? I love you to exercise with me. Raise your hands. Hi, hi. Now, young people, parents, how in the world will you convince your young people to be holy, to stay pure? Why will a young woman keep her virginity? Why will your daughter protect herself from premarital sex? Why will they do it when everyone else is doing something else? There's only one answer. If they love the Lord, they will obey the Lord. Next verse. The Bible tells us King Asa was a good king. But just because you are a good king does not mean you won't have problems. Many people don't understand theology. They think, if I walk with God, if I serve God, kung ako ay sumusunod sa Panginoon Diyos, dapat wala akong problema sa buhay. Mali. God does not promise to exempt you from problems, but He promised to give you strength to overcome problems. In fact, God will use problems to make you a better person, but you need His strength. This is what happened to King Asa. He had a problem. Ano po ang problema niya? Let's read. Sarah, the Ethiopian, came out against him with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. My goodness, 1,000,000 men going to attack your country. It is a disaster. Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up battle formation in the valley of Sephatha and Maresa. What did Asa do? Can you guess what he did as he was about to fight this Ethiopian army? Read the next verse. The Bible tells us, Asa, everybody read, called to the Lord his God. In short, he prayed. How did he pray? There is no one besides you to help us in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us. O Lord, our God, we trust in you. In your name, we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against you. He prayed. And you know what God did? I won't show you the verses anymore. You go home, you read 2 Chronicles chapter 14. The Bible tells us God gave King Asa and his army amazing victory. The victory was so powerful that the Ethiopians were destroyed and they never recovered to bother Israel again. That is how victorious they were. But when Asa became old, that's the problem. When he became old, because he did not guard watch his heart, you know what happened to him? Let's find out. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Everybody read. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasa, king of Israel, came against Judah. Huh. In the 36th year. In the Philippines, how many years does a president have? 6. But this guy, King Asa, was the king for how many years? 36. Ilan pong term yan? 6. And now he's going on his 7th term. In other words, this guy is so powerful. He has been a king for 36 years. A lot of experience. A lot of victory. A lot of money. Very successful. Something happened to him. Once upon a time, his heart was devoted to God. But then what happened? I'm surprised. You know what happened? Let's read. Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord, the king's house. Send them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, Today, Syria, the king of Syria. Now, let me ask you, where was King Asa putting his faith, his confidence in? Money, silver, and gold. What happened to him? How come, once upon a time, he was devoted to God, and now he's trusting his own strategy? Look at his strategy. Read the next verse. Let there be a treaty between you and me, between my father and your father. Behold, I've sent you silver and gold. Break your treaty with Baasa, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. He was depending on his strategy. The strategy was brilliant. He depended on money. He depended on political connection. Look at the map so you'll understand what's going on. If you look at the map, King Asa was the king of the southern kingdom of Israel. King Asa. King Baasa was the king of the northern kingdom. Remember, Israel was once upon a time one kingdom. After the foolishness of Solomon, it was divided into southern kingdom and northern kingdom. Southern kingdom, you have the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Northern kingdom, the rest of the 10 tribes. And then you have Aram, Syria. Look at his strategy. All right, I'm going to give money to this king so that this king will attack this kingdom. Did his strategy work? Yes or no? The Bible tells us it was so successful. You know it was so successful? The Bible tells us, 16 verse 4. Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, listened to King Asa and sent commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. In Tagalog, ginulo. Ginulo yung kingdom ni Baasa. So Baasa has to stop attacking Judah. So, was he successful? Yes or no? Yes. Now, let me ask you a question. What's wrong with being successful? The reason why it is wrong, because God has something better for King Asa. Everybody, please read. At that time, Hanani the seer, the word seer is also a name for a prophet, the prophet of God, came to Asa, king of Judah. Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Historically speaking, Aram became a problem for the nation of Israel and Judah. God's plan was total victory for King Asa, but he compromised. Humanly speaking, he was successful. But God is saying, let's read together. We're not together. We're not the Ethiopians and the Lumen and an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, everybody read. Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. God is saying, excuse me. When you were younger, you had bigger problems. You trusted me and I delivered you. What's going on? Read the next verse. Now you see the context. The context is this. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly. In this, indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. My friends, what happened to King Asa? Can I tell you what happened to him? Success brings pride. And when you become proud, you commit the sin of idolatry. What is idolatry? Anything, anyone that takes the place of God in your life. For example, ask yourself today, do you have any idols in your heart, in your life? How can you tell you have an idol? Very simple. The first test, where are you putting your security? Are you putting your security in money? Are you putting your security in your career? Ask yourself, what is the object of your trust? What are you putting your confidence on for your entire life? Is it God? Is it money? Another test, the test of happiness. What will really make you happy? Many people say, I will be happy when? I'll be happy if. Oh, mga singles, have you heard of this statement? If I marry this person, when I get married, I will be happy. Have you heard of that statement? Singles, if you believe that you will only be happy when you get married, I want you to ask those married people. How many of you are married? Okay, ask those married people. Kung totoo hindi. You know, this is the reality. Marriage brings happiness, but you cannot depend on people to make you happy. I've been married for 50 years. Praise God. When I was single, I was happy in the Lord. When my wife was single, she was happy in the Lord. Both of us were happily single. When you are single and you are not happy, don't ever think that when you get married, you'll be happy. A single person that is miserable, once they get married, they'll be doubly miserable. You can never have idols. You know why? Idols can never fulfill its promises. Only God can really satisfy you. Final test for idols in your heart. Are you ready? It's called the test of emotion. What will really make you angry if it is taken away from you? Let me repeat. What will really make you sad? What will really make you angry should it be taken away from you? You know, I've discovered many parents have idolized their children. You have made something good your idol. That's wrong. You must learn to hold on to things loosely. You know why? Because God can take them away anytime. Even ministry, I tell pastors, do not idolize ministry. Because we have only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve Him. But don't make your work, your career, your family, your God. King Asa made a big mistake. He began to believe in himself. In Tagalog, believe sa sarili. Yun ang problema. So he did not listen. Why do I say that? Look at the next verse. You know what happened when he was corrected by people? Let's read together. Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Imagine he got angry when he was corrected. He was enraged at him. Not only that, Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Why would this king get angry when people correct him? Ladies and gentlemen, be honest. If you are criticized, if you are corrected by people, are you thankful or do you get angry? How many of you, be honest, if you are criticized, if you are rebuked, if you are corrected, how many of you are happy that these people love me and they're correcting me? You're happy. Raise your hands. See? How many of you are not happy when people correct you? The honest ones. Okay, whatever you do, some of you will never raise your hands. No problem. My friend, why did he become angry? Because his idol was himself. When he was criticized, he got angry. Look at the next verse. God loved this guy so much. In the 39th year of his reign, 39th. Boss, medyo matanda na ito. From 36 years, now 39th year. Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe. Even in his sickness, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. There is nothing wrong to seek help from doctors, but put your confidence not in the medicine, not in doctors. Put your confidence in who? God, the ultimate healer. Agree? What was his problem? You see what I'm saying? If your heart is not right, even though God is speaking to you, you will not listen. Do you know that God allows sickness, he allows problems in order to speak to you? How many of you are having problems today? Be honest, you are having problems. You have some problems. Higher. You have some problem. Do you know why you have problems? Not because God hates you. Every time you have problems, you have to ask yourself, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? But King Asa did not connect his life, his problem with God. Why? His heart became hardened. Nasa Bible ba yan? I will show you how your heart becomes hard. Let's read this, Hebrews chapter 3. Everybody read. Encourage one another day after day as it is called today. That's why I want you to be part of a small group. In the small group, I encourage people. Look, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin will make your heart hard. A little sin, a little compromise, and your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. My advice is this. If you do something wrong, like King David, and God calls your attention, you humble yourself and you repent. And you say, Lord, I agree. I'm wrong. Forgive me. You change. But do not have a hard heart. Stop giving excuses. Stop blaming others. If you have sinned, don't bypass it. Don't pretend you have no sin, because your heart will become what? Harder and harder. And pretty soon, it is so hard, you don't even know. You have no more interest for Bible study. You have no more interest in worship. In fact, when you sing to the Lord, it's nothing. Your heart is hard. God wants you to know something. Let's read Jeremiah together. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You know, God is saying, I have wonderful plans for you. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. However, in order to know these plans, what must you do? You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Wow. God says, when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. The ultimate blessing of giving your heart, devote your heart to God, is the greatest blessing of God himself. Look at Jeremiah 33. Most of us are missing. You are missing in your Christian life. You do not know what God has in store for you. Let's read this together. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. One more time. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, as I look in my life, I always tell people, it is costly to follow Jesus. Yes, I admit, it can be costly. But it is more costly not to follow Jesus. There are consequences if you don't follow Jesus. But to me, the greatest cost is the things that you will not experience because you did not follow Jesus. What do I mean? Years ago, my wife devoted her heart to Jesus. She was very happy in the States, but God told her to come to the Philippines. She loved the Lord. She obeyed the Lord. She came to the Philippines. At around the same time, I gave my heart a bit earlier than that, but God told me, do not go to the States. My friends were all going to the States. God told me, you stay. I devoted my heart to Jesus. I stayed. And guess what happened? I made a simple decision to stay. She made a simple decision to come here. Our path crossed. I was just thinking, what would I miss if I did not follow the word of Jesus? That, my friend, was 50 years ago. I will not know what I will miss. And then I will not know what I will miss because God gave us 5 wonderful children. I praise God. These are amazing blessings. I will not know what I would have missed because God gave us 5 wonderful in-laws. And I will not know what we would have missed, my wife and I. We have 22 wonderful grandchildren. And I will never know the blessing of 50 years of wonderful marriage. Friends, I will not know what I would have missed. CCF is one of the greatest blessings. You are the greatest blessing that God has for us. As my wife and I look back, simple decision. But this simple decision of obeying Jesus has eternal consequences. And many of us are missing out on the blessing that God wants you to have. You got to understand, God is on our side. God wants to bless us. Why are we running away from God? What is stopping you from surrendering your heart to Jesus? Why are you reluctant in giving your all to Jesus? Look at Romans chapter 8 one more time. Anong sabi ng Biblia? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? How do you know God is for us? Read. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us what? All things. You know what God is saying? God is saying, if I give you my most precious possession, my son Jesus, if I give you my son Jesus, why will I withhold all the other things? Think about it. Friends, you need to watch your heart daily because the heart is prone to wander. Some of you have wandered away from the Lord. You are physically present, but your heart is not wholly devoted to the Lord. I want you to ask yourself, is my heart fully devoted to the Lord? Let's bow our heads and pray. Some of you are struggling. I don't know what's holding you back. Is it a relationship? Is it any kind of sin? What is it? What are you compromising that you are not willing to surrender to God? Remember, the cost of not following Jesus are the blessings you will never know. I want you to really humble yourselves today and pray this prayer with me. Those of you who like to acknowledge God as your lover, God loves you and He wants your heart. Will you pray this prayer with me together, wherever you are? Our Father in heaven, here I am. I devote my heart to you. I devote my broken heart, my hardened heart, my sinful heart. I surrender them all to you. And Jesus, I ask you to transform my heart. Make it pleasing to you. and give me the strength from this day onward to be committed to following you, to stop compromising. But Lord, I cannot do this on my own. Help me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I now accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Today, I trust you completely. Help me to maintain that trust by knowing you more and more. I commit to you my entire future, my family. In Jesus' name I pray, we all pray, amen and amen. God bless you.